Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and today I'm going to talk to you about balanced scorecards and introducing a balanced scorecard measurement tool in a public sector organisation. So, I'm going to talk you through two things. First of all, I'm going to look at what is a balanced scorecard? How does it work? Why do we use them? And so on. And then secondly, I'm going to have a look at how we would introduce a balanced scorecard into your organisation. What would be the process that we would go through? What things would we have to do if we were going to introduce a balanced scorecard? And like all of these podcasts, remember, this is an introduction to the subject. You may want to go away and read and research a little bit more about it after you've listened to this introduction. So, first of all, what is a balanced scorecard? Why do we have them? What does it achieve? What does it do for us? A balanced scorecard is basically a tool for collating and reporting key performance indicators for your organisation. So, two things there. Key performance indicators must be essential things that the organisation is aiming to achieve. And following on from that, therefore, these performance indicators must be linked back to the strategy of your organisation. So, what is the strategy that your executives are trying to deliver? And these key performance indicators will be a simplistic way of tracking how well you're doing against your strategic targets. Secondly, the balanced scorecard will contain both financial and non-financial performance indicators. So financial performance indicators are indicators which have a pound note sign in front of them. Financial performance indicators are the ones that we traditionally use in traditional management accounting and performance measurement. Non-financial performance indicators will be different. They could still be numerical. They could show the number of customer complaints. That's a numerical but non-financial measure. Or they could be completely non-numerical. So how happy are our customers on a scale of very happy to not very happy? So those indicators can be financial or non-financial. Those indicators will focus on the service perception of the service users that are using our public sector organisation. What is it that they want from us will be something that the balanced scorecard will focus upon. It'll focus upon ensuring that we're actually delivering the level of service that our users want, whether they're ratepayers for a local authority, whether they are businesses using government advisory service, or whether they're patients in the National Health Service. The balanced scorecard will look at business processes and how efficiently we are carrying out our processes. So whether it's processing rebate claims in a local authority, or planning applications in a local authority, or whether we're scheduling appointments for people at the Department of Social Security, how efficiently are we actually achieving that? A balanced scorecard will also look at our ability to learn and grow as an organisation. Now, the idea of growing in the public sector seems a slightly odd one, given the current financial situation, but certainly as an organisation, public sector organisations have to learn and change and adapt. A huge thing for the public sector has been the use of the internet and other IT applications, but particularly the internet to enable them to perform more efficiently, to allow users of services to access the services via the internet rather than via face-to-face conversations or perhaps telephone conversations, in order to achieve efficiencies within the public sector organisation. And lastly, the balanced scorecard will show both quantitative and qualitative measures. And we've already touched on that a few moments ago. Quantitative measures, we're measuring how much, how many, and qualitative measures, measuring how well have we done something. So both things will be focused on in the balanced scorecard. What does a balanced scorecard look like then? Well, a balanced scorecard has four headings. There are four headings for the key performance indicators that we're going to be collecting. Under each heading, we will set ourselves goals and we will measure our performance against those goals. Now, there is a question about how many goals we set for ourselves. Remember, there are four headings that we collect these performance measures under. And if, let's say, we had five goals under each heading, that would give us 20 measures in total. That would probably be too many. How many is enough? Well, that depends on the organisation. But let's say you had two under each heading, that would give you 8 performance measures to track every time you reported. Let's say you reported this every month. Yeah. So you need to think about how many performance measures you have and limit the number, because having too many measures can be counterproductive. Some measures can actually contradict each other. If, say, we had 50 performance measures that we were tracking, performance measure number 7 might be counterproductive to performance measure number 26. So if we achieve number 7 well, then number 26 will go down in performance. So we need to make sure that all of our measures are consistent, and it's easier to do that if we have a smaller number. It's also easier to track things with a smaller number and to make sure people in the organisation, managers, are very focused. So we've got four headings, and under each heading we set ourselves goals, and we don't want too many of them, and ways of measuring each of those goals. What are the four headings? Well, the four headings are the financial perspective, which is quite a traditional heading. The way that businesses traditionally measure themselves is looking at their financial performance. The second heading is called the internal business perspective heading. The third heading is called the innovation and learning heading. And the fourth heading is called the customer perspective. So we want goals and measures under each of those four headings. And Kaplan, who created the balanced scorecard, said that running a business was like flying an aeroplane. Or in this case, running a public sector organization is like flying an aeroplane. There's more than one indicator of how well you're doing, in other words. So Kaplan would say, on flying an aeroplane, you need to know your altitude, you need to know your speed, you need to know your fuel levels, and so on. And not one indicator will be supreme. All of them need to be checked regularly to make sure you're going to reach your destination on the flight. And the same, by the same token, running a public sector organization, there are lots of different things that you need to keep in check to ensure that you are delivering your service appropriately. The obvious one, of course, is, yes, you need to keep costs under control, but you need to balance that with making sure you're delivering the service appropriately. There's no point having the public sector organisation unless it can deliver the service that it's been set up to deliver. And of course, you can't deliver the service if you are short of funds. So, things need to be balanced. Let's have a look at some examples that you might use under each of those four perspectives in public sector organisations. So let's have a look at the financial perspective first of all. The obvious one will be that you might track cost reductions against preset targets and see how well you're performing against those. But you could also have other financial targets such as tracking service revenues from external sources. For example, in a planning department, you would receive income from those making planning applications, or perhaps in a hospital, you might be renting out space to shops in the foyer area, and you could track that income there. Moving on to the internal perspective, the internal organisational perspective, these are things that we might track as an organisation to see how well we're performing. The service users who are using our public service wouldn't necessarily be conscious of whether we were doing these things well or badly. But if we don't do these things well, then they'll have a negative effect on the organisation. And that could eventually lead to having a negative effect on the service user. So some examples of things we might measure might be things like staff retention. Why is staff retention important? Well, if we retain our staff, then it means that recruitment costs are kept low. And it also means that training costs are kept lower, because we don't have to constantly keep retraining new people. And of course, it also means, the other advantage, that we have experienced staff who can deliver the services well. So we might measure staff retention, staff turnover as well. And we also might measure process time targets. So how long does it take us to process a claim in the Department of Social Security? Or how long does it take us to process a tax return in Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs? We might measure those things to make sure we're working efficiently as an organisation. The next heading is the innovation and learning perspective, where we would set ourselves goals and measure our performance against those goals. So we might measure things here like the number of new services that we've introduced. Now, it may be at this moment in time that public sector organisations are trying to actually limit or stabilise the number of services that they have. Eventually, though, new services, and perhaps those might not be extra services, but replacement services, may be needed as things change in the environment within which the organisation is working. Another thing here, something I mentioned earlier, might be setting ourselves targets for delivering our services using the internet, particularly things like information services that we deliver to, let's say, patients in hospital, receipt of planning applications, submission of tax returns. These are all things that organisations in the public sector will set themselves as targets. When do we want to have 100% of our VAT returns, for example, being done online? That's an innovation and learning target that will benefit Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. The last perspective is the customer perspective, or we might call it in the public sector, the service user perspective. What do they want from us, and are we achieving what they want from us? Because if we're not achieving what they want, then it's very disruptive to the organisation. No executives want to deal with lots and lots of complaints from service users. It slows them down. It means that they can't work as efficiently. And of course, they need people to handle those service user complaints. So we might look at service user satisfaction levels, perhaps by using surveys. In a hospital, we might look at readmission rates or mortality rates, or we might look at claims against the organisation. For example, if we were looking at a highways network, we might look at the number of accident legal claims that are taken against us for having poorly repaired roads. So that's the balanced scorecard. Kaplan's balanced scorecard has four perspectives over which the organisation sets itself goals and then measures itself against those goals. And key things to remember are that we need goals under each of the four headings, and that we also need to make sure we don't have too many goals under each of the four headings, because we want a nice, neat number of goals that we're tracking ourselves against. Perhaps we might have 8, 9, 10, 12, something in that order. So it keeps it nice and neat and simple for our managers to be able to track performance. So that's the first part of the podcast. What is a balanced scorecard? This next little bit is all about how would you introduce a balanced scorecard to your organisation? What are the things that you would need to have in place first? So first of all, you need top-level leadership to introduce the balanced scorecard, and you need to have an acceptance from the top-level leadership, and that acceptance must run all the way through the organisation. So this is the idea of giving some credibility to the introduction of the scorecard. Is it something the chief executive thinks is important? And how are you going to get across to people in your organisation that the chief executive thinks it's important? We've got to have that backing. Because remember, at the end of the day, the balanced scorecard is there to track our performance against the strategy. And the strategy is the responsibility of the executive board within your organisation. Next, we need organisation-wide involvement. All levels of staff and management within your organisation need to be involved in using the balanced scorecard. They all need to be conscious of the things that are being measured. If we have 9 performance measures in the balanced scorecard, then everything they do must lead towards improvements in those 9 performance measures. So the more people are aware of it, conscious of it, and motivated to achieve those things, then the more successful we will be. Thirdly, we've said this before already, but very, very important to repeat, we need to make sure that the balanced scorecard is linked to the strategic objectives, whether they be cost reduction, service delivery levels, or new services that we're introducing as an organisation. We must make sure that that balanced scorecard is linked to them. And fourthly here, we need a multi-layered approach within our balanced scorecard. And that means that at the top level of the organisation, the balanced scorecard will have its own goals and measures, and that lower down different layers of the organization, that those goals and measures might need to be tweaked, changed slightly, so that we're still trying to achieve the same overall objective, but at different levels of the organization. So, for example, a public sector organization might want to have delighted service users because that will lead to less complaints. Less complaints means less time spent answering them and therefore savings in costs. So we might then look at a lower level of the organization that the amount of time that we take to answer an incoming phone call from one of our service users, let's say on Majesty's Revenue and Customs, how long does it take from the user ringing, how many rings do they have to wait before we pick up the phone? That will mean that waiting times are shorter. That will mean that the service user is happier when they come onto the phone to talk to one of our advisors. That will mean there is less likelihood of complaint. So at the top level, we've got the requirement to have delighted users, which will give us less complaints. At a lower level within the organization, at the call center level, say, we have to have a slightly more specific range of targets. In this case, reduced waiting times for the calls to be answered. Similarly, in a hospital, again, we might want delighted service users. The lower level, though, the appointment setting level, we might need to make sure very specifically that appointments are available when the users want them and that the waiting times to have those appointments are reduced. And again, that will reduce the level of complaints that happen and therefore will increase the possibility of achieving our overall service target. So what would be the process? If you're going to start from scratch, what process would you need to go through in order to introduce a balanced scorecard? What would be the steps? Let's have a chat through those. First of all, I've got 9 steps here. So the first step, and I've already mentioned this previously, is leadership. We start with the leadership and the involvement of the leadership. Perhaps they would be the people to tell the organization about the introduction of the scorecard. That would show their commitment to it. Once that's happened, then we would need to appoint a development team, or the leadership would have to appoint a development team. And the development team are the project managers for introducing the balanced scorecard to the organization. Their job is finished, if you like, when the balanced scorecard is finished and up and running for the organization. The development team would be responsible for then creating focus groups. And the focus groups would operate at different layers of the organization. So you'd have an executive board layer, senior management layer, middle management layer, and so on, down through the organization to come up with the sort of goals and measures that are appropriate at the different levels of the organization. All of these focus groups would have to be briefed to ensure that they were all focused on the same strategic aims of the organization. The next thing we'd need to do, and again, this would be a job for the development team, is to collate the ideas. They'd need to ensure that there was consistency through the different layers of the organization to make sure that the goals and measures all were consistent, compatible with each other. The next thing, of course, would be that we'd need to tidy up all of these ideas that had come out of the focus groups. There may be hundreds of different measures there, and we want to slim them down to make sure we have a small number of measures at each of the layers of the organization. The next thing we need to do is actually create the measurement tools, and there'd probably be a large input from IT here to make sure that we could create the databases of information that we would need and the reporting tools that we would need to make sure that these are reported in a really user-friendly way. We then need to test the measurement tools. We'd need to do some trial runs of the balanced scorecard and the tools to make sure they picked up the information that we actually wanted. The next thing we do is we need to implement it. We need to have a start date. We'd need to brief people and train people and get people to think about how to affect the measures and how what they did each day of their working lives would impact on these measures. And then lastly, we would need to review how successful the balanced scorecard introduction had been. So the review would take place after a set period of time, perhaps 6 months or a year or whatever time period, just to make sure that things were working well and that if any adjustments were needed, then those adjustments were made. So that's the 9 steps that you would go through in order to introduce a balanced scorecard within your organization. That, as you can probably imagine, would take some time. And part of the development team would be that they would have to make sure that they had a project plan in the first place and that that project was delivered within the time frame agreed by the leadership of the organisation. So, there you go. We've talked about what a balanced scorecard is, first of all, and then we moved on to look at how you would introduce a balanced scorecard into your organisation. That's all I've got to say for today. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.